Hare Krishna. We're going to try to read this little book today. And you're ready. Okay, so we're all ready. Everyone's here except Lakshman. Oh, my keys. I will need to. Anyway, it's called Navadvipava Taranga. And it's by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's the parikrama of Navadvip, but as opposed to what Navadvip Mahatmya, which is about the different places, this is about the internal development that takes place when you go to holy places. And it's a short book, although it's here it's 86 pages, but that includes Sanskrit, word-for-word transliteration. So I take no responsibility for the English. I say that because I looked at the first verse. But anyway, let's start. Which is the crest jewel of all holy abodes, which is sporting ground of the Sandini potency, which measures 16 kroshas in circumference, which is manifest in 9 islands, where the chit and ananda potencies reside, and which is the sanctuary of all holy places, demigods, sages, and scriptures. May the Dhamma Sri Navadvipa become visible to my eyes. May my eyes behold the 16th krosha of Vrindavan within the circle of Mathura Mandala as identical to Navadvipa within the circle of Gauda Mandala. These dhams are but two manifestations of one principle that is infinitely beginningless and purely spiritual, and which only for reasons of differing pastimes of the Lord has taken the form of two immaculate abodes. Resembling by his inconceivable potency, which is infinite and spiritual, the Lord has brought these two dhams into the material world in order to liberate the living entities dwelling there. By the power of the mercy of this Sri Krishna, may the souls bound in matter someday see these abodes of Vrindavan and Navadvipa. Only by acquiring proper qualifications can all the senses of the living entities taste the spiritual variegated nectar of these holy dhams. Since unqualified material senses are incapable of tasting the sweet nectar, those so unfortunately endowed scornfully deride these places again and again as being insignificant locations made only of dull matter. The basis of qualification is the mercy of Krishna himself and the mercy of his devotees. Out of compassion for the living entities, the sadhus bestow this transcendental qualification onto other devotees by their own association. One cannot attain this by following the paths of Gyan, Karma, or Yoga. Only by means of Shraddha, faith, while strictly keeping the association of saintly devotees of the Lord, can one be victorious over matter. The very moment that the living entity gives up the entangling network of material illusions related to the senses, the eyes of the soul will behold the splendor of the spiritual Dham. Oh, when will I attain that state? When will I see Sri Navadvipa Dham so far beyond the mirage of mundane existence? Resembling an eight-petaled lotus in shape, this abode is immaculately pure. It is so cooling that it diffuses the illumination of millions of moons. It is so brilliant that it defeats the effulgence of millions of suns. Sometimes the Dham will appear before my eyes. In the center of the eight islands that are like eight petals of a lotus flower is the ninth and best island called Antardweep, which is exceedingly beautiful. In the middle of that island rests the yoga pit, or main meeting place of the Lord and his associates, known as Mayapur. Upon seeing this place, I shall experience profuse bliss. The scriptures sing of a transcendental place called Brahmapur. In that realm, Mayapur shines before one's eyes, freed from illusion. identical with Sri Gokula in the forest of Mahavan of Raj, and vastly superior to all other places in creation. That place is where the son of Sachi performs his eternal pastimes. The abode of the gopas and gopis in Braj named Sri Gokul is the same as the abode of the Brahmin families in Navadvip Dham. In the center of supremely purifying Mayapur is the radiant home of Jagannath Mishra. This is the eternal residence of the Lord. One whose eyes are covered by material illusion sees only a small house situated here and some ordinary earth, water, and a few articles. But if Maya becomes merciful and lifts her covering, then one sees a grand spiritual dwelling. Here Sri Gauranga is served by his eternal mother and father, as well as by male and female servants, who are all incessantly maddened with ecstatic love. Here both his wives, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, eternally serve the Lord's lotus feet. He manifests in a wondrous form, complete in five features of Panchatattva. The residences of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, and Sri Vas are shining here and there in different places throughout Mayapur. Indeed, the homes of innumerable devotees are glowing in all four directions. May such a Mayapur be merciful unto me. To the southwest, the combined Ganga and Jalangi rivers praise their own good fortune as they flow in the form of a serpent for rendering service to Lord Gaura, the jewel of the twice-born Brahmins. Upon her banks are many different landing steps for bathing and also numerous temples, including the deities of Proto-Maya and British Eve, as well as many groves and gardens. In Mayapur, there are countless homes of the Brahmins, plus wide avenues, courtyards, forests, and temples of Lord Shiva. Flowing in the southeast are the incessant currents of the Saraswati River. Upon her bank is a sacred area known as Ishodhyan, the Lord's Garden. It's Jalangi, and right at the end of the Jalangi. Why should fallen rascal souls of Kali Yuga, bound up tightly by material illusion, have the privilege of seeing all these eternal, fully spiritual, limitless treasures of the divine realm? Maya has therefore hidden the dam by means of the erosive, ever-changing nature of the three rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, and Saraswati. Thus the eyes of the materialists can see only a shadow of the real Mayapur. By the mercy of Sri Nityananda, the holder of all spiritual powers, may that Mayapur be revealed unto my eyes and viewed with proper reverence. May I, this worthless fool, become truly fortunate to behold a vision of the household pastimes of Sri Gauranga that eternally take place in this land. In the center of the island called Antardweep is the village of Mayapur, situated as the central whorl of the eight-petaled lotus. That transcendental abode glows with a fair yellow aura. It is resplendent with networks of effulgences and is supremely pure. May this place always shimmer before my eyes. Here and there are wooden groves, amongst which is the lake called Prithusarovara, and many pastures for grazing cows. Oh, how beautiful these places are to behold. There are many water canals, partitioned grain fields, and wide main roads lined with bakul, kadamba, and many other types of large trees. To the west of here, on the bank of the river Ganga, stands the town celebrated by the name Ganganagar. There's the house of Gangadas, where my Lord Gauranga took his young Brahmin friends and carried out their studies. There also one can see the lovely hill known as Bharadvaj Tila, where the great sage Bharadvaj worshipped Lord Gaura. The sage ultimately attained ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya and then wrote scriptural verses that bestow the gift of devotional service unto many materialistic people. North of Prithukund is the town of Mathura and the holy place known as Shasti Tirtha, which is within the exquisitely beautiful forest of Madhuvan in Braj. This is a very extensive area populated by many people. May my eyes become purified by viewing this scene. Further north is the enchanting place known as Sharadanga. Here the leader of the Shabra race, out of fear of the demon named Raktabahu, secretly resides along with the deity of Lord of Niladri, Jagannath. May I always behold this place with my very eyes. Northwest of Mathura, I shall see the splendor of the island of Simantadweep, whose border is the bank of the river Ganga. There, the goddess Parvati was distressed and gained relief by placing the dust from the lotus feet of Lord Gaura upon the part of her hair, Simanta. In the distance, I will see the forest of Bilva trees, Bilbavan of Braj, where the four Kumara brothers remain in meditation on Lord Gaura. And further in the distance, I will see the land known as Shankarshan Kshetra, where Nityananda Prabhu performs his pastimes. This area is manifest to learned devotees. In the southern portion of Mayapur, on the bank of the river Ganga, and very near its junction with the river Saraswati, is the extensive grove called Ishodhyan. May that garden be the place of my eternal devotions. In this garden, my Lord Sachinandan performs his midday pastime along with his devotees. Seeing the brilliance of this grove, I shall be reminded of Radhakund and Braj. May all these areas be eternally visible to my eyes. Huge trees and dark vines appear very dense. Among the foliage are various types of birds singing the transcendental glories of Lord Gaura. There is a large lake and an extremely opulent temple glowing with pure gold, inlaid with diamonds as well as blue and yellow sapphires. The materialists, with their eyes bewildered by the illusion of material sense perception, and who are envious of the Lord, can never see these groves. Rather, they see only a small piece of land covered with thorns, periodically thrown into utter disruption by the forceful flooding of the river. In the center of Madhuvan is a place called Vishramstal. There is the cottage of the Lord's devotee named Sridhar, and also a clear pond. After rectifying the Kaji, the Lord of the Three Worlds came here with his followers and rested. When will I shout Gauranga at this Vishramstal? I will roll upon the ground and cry in solitude. Overwhelmed with the emotions of ecstatic love, will I ever see the beautiful Sri Gauranga Sundar drinking water from Sridhar's iron pot? And when by the power of great fortune will my eyes behold the young son of Sachi in the midst of a rousing kirtan, along with Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Srivas, dancing and begging for ecstatic love at the house of Sridhar? Looking east from here, I shall see Suvarna Bihar, the site of King Suvarna Sen's incomparable majestic palace. This is where the moon-like Sri Gaura Chandra dances along with his associates in an enchanting golden form. When will I wander throughout Suvarna Bihar alone or in the company of other devotees, weeping and sobbing piteously with a choked voice? At the lotus feet of Gauranga, I will beg for a speck of service to the divine couple and then offer my very life unto the shelter of Sri Radha's lotus feet. Southeast of there is Nisingapali. When will I see the pure transcendental sweetness of this place, also called Devapali? I will roll about on the ground in ecstatic love while visiting this residence of Lord Nisringa. Sincerely begging for his grace, without a trace of duplicity in my heart, I will attain Krishna Prema. Within my sinful heart, the six enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunning. At the lotus feet of Lord Nisringa, I hope that he will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Lord Nisringa for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadweep, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. When will this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear itself, ever become pleased and show me his mercy? Even though Lord Nisringa is terrifying towards the sinful souls, he offers great auspiciousness unto the devotees of Lord Krishna, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. When will he be pleased to speak words of compassion unto me, a worthless fool, and thereby make me fearless? He will say, "Dear child, sit down freely and live happily here in Sri Gauranga Dham. May you nicely worship the divine couple, and may you develop loving attachment for their holy names. By the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away. With a purified heart, just perform the worship of Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar. Saying this, will the Lord delightedly place his own divine lotus feet upon my head. Suddenly I will experience sublime love for the divine cup of Radha Krishna and undergo the ecstatic transformations called sattvika. Falling on the ground, I will roll about by the door of Sri Nrisimhadev's temple. Hare Krishna. Okay.